The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Wednesday, December 7th, 2022. Great to have you here. December 7th is a day that continues to live in infamy. It is Pearl Harbor Day. It's the 81st anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor that got America thrust into World War II. I'll have a word or two about that. There are remaining Pearl Harbor survivors. I found an article about a gentleman who is almost 102, and he was actually on the USS Arizona itself, where 1,700 died. The bubbles and oil still come to the surface from the Arizona and from the ocean floor at Pearl Harbor. It's a visit worth making. And so on this Pearl Harbor Day, we'll talk about that some today. But boy, do we have stuff in the news, and it's not good. Herschel loses a narrow race in Georgia. 24 hours ago when we started off the show, I said that if there is a gut feeling to be had, if there's writing on the wall of any accuracy, it would seem to foretell a close race, it was, and a narrow win by Warnock. Why? Because of exactly the phenomenon that I described to you yesterday. I don't want to hear a word about candidate quality, because the very nearly mute John Fetterman won in Pennsylvania. I don't want to hear a word about candidate quality or Herschel's failings or Herschel's flaws, because a simpering coward, Katie Holmes, won in Arizona. Wouldn't even get onto a debate stage with Carrie Lake in Arizona for the governor's race. I just don't hear a word about the Trump endorsement. Everybody is, while he remains obviously a force to be reckoned with, and reckoned with might be exactly what we have to do moving forward in figuring out, you know, how to evaluate his own presidential run. Voters in Georgia did not spend their time wondering whether a Trump endorsement of Herschel was great or a Trump endorsement of Herschel was bad. They took Herschel at face value. And in the primaries in Georgia this past year, they elevated him to be, the Republicans elevated him to be their standard bearer by a massive margin. He vastly, easily dispatched a group of about five candidates. Nobody else was remotely close. So he was the choice of the Republican Party. Trump didn't do it. Nobody in a smoky back room did it. On the text line, by the way, the text line open, phone lines open, 866-660-5759. I told you yesterday that I needed to have a word with Georgia. Here it comes, and it's not pretty. 866-660-5759. Because insufficient warriors in Georgia, weasel Republicans, faint-hearted voters just didn't show up. They just didn't show up. Every Democrat showed up for Raphael Warnock who needed to. We've talked about this for years, how we envy the Democrats their lockstep devotion to their cause. You know, they can have a president reveal himself to have massive moral flaws and rally around him anyway, because he brought the policies they wanted. That's the Bill Clinton example. We have ours, too. Trump had all kinds of peripheral stuff going on and all kinds of quirks. We're dealing with them still today. He brought and continues to offer to bring the policies that conservatives want. Now, let's not get all complicated about 2024 because we may have a figure in DeSantis who brings us exactly those policies without the drama, without the unforced errors. We'll get to that. We'll plenty of time to get to that. But in Herschel, in Georgia, we had someone who was absolutely right on borders, absolutely right on the economy, absolutely right on how many genders there are, absolutely right on the pro-life cause, absolutely right on the Constitution, absolutely right on crime. Tell me exactly what the problem was in terms of the votes that he would have cast, which is what matters. Democrats know that this matters. That's why they showed up for Fetterman. I said famously that if the tables were turned, that I would vote for a disembodied Republican head in order to keep a Democrat out of the Senate. In Pennsylvania, Democrats just about did that because they knew Fetterman would somehow find a way to the floor of the Senate and vote the way they wanted. We don't do that. We get caught up in all kinds of peripheral sideshow BS. And here's some numbers that will just break your heart. On November 8th, 1.9 million people showed up for Herschel. 1.9 million, or 1.906. Raphael Warnock got 1.941. But neither one of them was at 50%. And boy, thank you, Chase Oliver. Well, you know what? I'm not going to blame Chase Oliver. Chase Oliver was the libertarian who ran. He had a right to run. And God love him, he got 2% of the vote, which is about four times more than what libertarian candidates usually get. But I might want a word with the 81,000 people who voted for him. The margin on Election Day, November 8th, between Herschel and Raphael Warnock was about 35,000 votes. About 35,000 votes. 81,000 supposedly liberty-loving Georgians showed up and wanted to vote for Chase Oliver, just as I... pardon me, my sour grapes. Forgive me a bit of a burst of sour grapes. Because if these supposedly liberty-loving libertarians decided not to wear their vote like some affectation or some accessory, and I told a guy yesterday, somebody who tried to complain about this yesterday or day before. And I said, look, everybody has the right to run. And as far as Herschel goes, if you complain about somebody getting 1% or 2% and that keeps you from winning, then get more votes. Maybe the problem was you didn't get enough votes. And that's kind of my theme this morning. So I'm not going to badger Chase Oliver, the libertarian. I would like a word. And maybe if you know all the libertarians, I know that they're just like, well, no, our libertarian candidate, oh, maybe he'll get 3% one day. Whoop-de-flippin-do. And in the meantime, you get Raphael Warnock. Hey, have you done a favor to liberty? Did the libertarians of Georgia, the 81,000 souls who voted for this Chase Oliver, how's liberty doing in Georgia now? How did that work out for you? And I think for them, and I can't mind read 81,000 people, but I don't think they were thinking very much about liberty. I think they were thinking, oh, Chase Oliver is a cool liberty-loving dude, libertarian dude. I want to do something for the Libertarian Party, and they otherwise wouldn't have voted at all. And that's probably true, most of them. If, however, they really cared about liberty in Georgia and not just the L for libertarian by Chase Oliver's name and not just doing something for their candidate for their minuscule brand. If they really cared about it, and I know that the definition of libertarianism is you're going to have some fiscal conservatism, some constitutional conservatism, and in some ways, some social issue liberalism. It's a loosey-goosey definition of the way libertarianism usually rolls. But most libertarians, if you force them to vote conservative or vote liberal, they'll vote conservative. Vote Republican or vote Democrat, they'll vote Republican. If you have to. Well, of course, nobody had to. We don't make you vote for anybody. You vote for whomever you please. Whoever wants to run, run. Whoever you want to vote for, you vote for. But just going back to November 8th, this is what got us into this stupid runoff, is that the existence of Chase Oliver, that libertarian candidate, if he had not been there, I mean, I don't know how that would have gone. I mean, Warnock did get a sliver more than Herschel. Would those libertarian voters have shown up and voted for Herschel? I don't know, so I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. Let me tell you what I am going to lose a little bit of sleep over. The number of voters who showed up for Herschel on November 8th, 1,906,000. 1,906,000. Number of voters who showed up for him yesterday, 1,714,000. Almost 200,000 souls in Georgia who showed up to vote for Herschel on November 8th could not be bothered. Could not be bothered to show up yesterday. Why? Did liberty no longer matter to them? Did conservatism no longer matter to them? Did the Republican win no longer matter to them? Did a 50-50 Senate no longer matter to them? These faint-hearted, weakling, malleable, hoseable, shapeable, dismissible, spineless Republicans who did not show up yet. This is on you. This is on you. It ain't Trump's fault. It's not Herschel's fault for not being, William F. Buckley. He brought everything a conservative could want in Georgia in terms of the votes he would cast. And that is the only thing that matters when push comes to shove. The only thing. I mean, obviously, presuming that you have somebody who's not an axe murderer, presuming that you have somebody, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because, I mean, we have the proof in the pudding from what the Democrats did. Katie Holmes was a coward. She's going to be governor. Wouldn't even get on a debate stage. She won anyway because Democrats showed up for her. John Fetterman, don't even get me started on Fetterman. How in God's name did that happen? Because Democrats took a look at this hulk of a man and said, well, we don't care. We'll let him recover from that stroke during his 6 years as a senator. Because in the meantime, they'll find some way by hook or by crook to get us the votes that we want as a Democrat senator. Republicans don't do that. We don't do that. We hem and we haw and we go, I don't know, I didn't be doing this. The lieutenant governor doesn't like him and blah, 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 blah. And so Georgia Republicans, I told you that I was going to need a word with Georgia Republicans, and that word is shame on you. Oh, what could Herschel have done differently? What could Trump have done differently? What if he showed up for three rallies? Shut up. This was on you, Georgia Republicans. You had a job to show up. Raphael Warnock's people showed up. They showed up. They wanted Democrat policies, and they got behind their guy. We supposedly want conservative policies, and we did not show up for our guy. So that's it. That is it in a nutshell. Anyway, this news, the race got called right as Laura Ingraham last night was about to start a chat with Molly Hemingway and Kellyanne Conway. It was, some of this angst was on the TV box as well. I'll play that for you. Also here in a minute, you know, I have the luxury of, sitting here in a radio studio and talking to you about a political race that didn't go the way I wanted. In a country that's not going the way I want. We're working on that. But you know what? My kids are alive. My blessings are many. And last night, did you see some of the reporting out of First Baptist in Cottondale? About a thousand people showed up at this church for this candlelight vigil for this beautiful, beautiful little girl. For Athena Strand, decked out in pink, they came and they prayed and heard from her mom. Matt Howerton did a report from Channel 8. I think that's the one I'll play for you here in a minute. But as we take a look at matters large and small, as we take a look at things that have gone our way and have not gone our way in the last day, the last years, Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. Fill us with the blessings of this Christmas season. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools are safe, our elections are reliable, whether they go the way we want or not, where we protect the unborn, where our borders work, where we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders that you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill. As we face all these problems and have all of our daily complaints, large and small, always give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. It's 7:22.
Come, they told me, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum.
From Bing Crosby's classic Christmas album, 1952, Little Drummer Boy.
Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum.
It is 7:27. I told you about this during yesterday's and Monday's show at First Baptist in Cottondale. They're in Paradise in Wise County, that there was going to be a lot of people showing up for Athena Strand, who was abducted, killed a week ago. And they kept coming and coming and coming. There were candles donated, the stage donated, coffee donated, and they nearly ran out of all the above because so many people showed up for the candlelight vigil for this little girl. Among those who were there, Channel 8's Matt Howerton.
If you're wondering what love,
but my heart and prayers go out to Athena's mom and her family,
or support feels like, then look no further than the front lawn of First Baptist Cottondale.
Just overwhelming, all the candles and all the love.
It's where thousands squeeze together along a small country road to remember Athena Strand Tuesday night.
I don't know how to thank you guys for all that y'all have done for my family, but especially for my baby.
It is where the mother of Athena spoke publicly for the first time since her little girl was taken from her last week.
And I just want to keep her face and her story alive because I want everyone to know Athena for Athena and not for what someone tried to make her out to be. Because she's the best little girl. She really was.
Photos of the first grader line the front of the stage as pink illuminated the night sky, Athena's favorite color. A Christmas angel placed on the stage representing the seven-year-old.
He brought her into his heavenly home where there is no hate, where there is no hurt.
This is Charles Pugh, the pastor of First Baptist Cottondale.
This church, where law enforcement volunteers and Athena's family regrouped during exhaustive search efforts.
Every single one of my students plays an important role in our classroom family, and now we are missing one of those important people.
As Lindsay Thompson, who is Athena's teacher.
Strand's teacher also spoke. They knew each other for only a few months, but this loving smile left a lasting impression.
I now have 18 of my favorite 6 and 7-year-olds that are sad and hurting because they no longer have a friend and classmate.
It's hard to put into words how much this community is hurting.
Y'all are making me cry saying Athena's strong, so I needed to be strong for her.
Or how much this mother is hurting. But her one wish, her one request is simple, as she and her family await justice.
I don't care if it's 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, remember Athena Strand.
That is Maitland Gandy, Athena's mom. Folks, you know, we talked about folks showing up. You know, you show whether it's at an election, whether it's at a candlelight vigil, whether it's for family, whether it's in a relationship, you show up. When you show up, good things happen. When you show up, good things happen. You know who always shows up? Our talk show buddy, Mike Gallagher. Let's talk to him next. After a news burst with Gordon Griffin, I'm Mark Davis, 7:30. Here's Gordon.
Joyful and triumphant.
The pride of Daytona Beach. Little casting crowns and O Come All Ye Faithful. All Our buddy Mike Gallagher is here. Oh boy.
You know, maybe maybe it's best summed up by a headline at the Daily Beast of all places.
Great.
Herschel Walker's exes rejoice at defeat by Warnock.
That's great.
I'm extremely proud of the outcome of the runoff, said Cheryl Parza, who is in a relationship with the former football star in the 2000s and alleges that he lied and cheated on her. And, you know, I mean, it worked. A lot of it worked. You've nailed it. You captured perfectly what the problem is. And the problem is nearly a quarter of a million Republican voters in Georgia who stayed home.
Couldn't be bothered.
To those who would say, well, but and I'm sure I'll get calls, as you'll probably get calls at some point. Well, Herschel wasn't a great candidate. Oh, okay. So you want Raphael Warnock instead?
Yeah.
That's what you want? Did you see that Warnock said that Jesus would have fought for abortion? Jesus. I mean, you want to talk every level of sacrilege, blasphemy, that Jesus himself would be fighting for, you know, abortions. He said, I wonder if he says that from the pulpit of the Ebenezer Baptist Church.
Might as well. I mean, I had a couple of folks in the text line, you know, chortling about it. And I do love the text line, and I do love the phone lines. And as on Mike's show, agree, disagree, everybody's welcome here. 866-660-5759.
Oh, yeah, but I block way faster than you do. I'll be doing some blocking
way
today.
Way too permissive. Well, I let a guy in who said that Herschel was flawed, it's a bloodied nose for Trump, and that Warnock is a Christian who quotes from the Bible in this added to his appeal. What Bible is he quoting from? What Christ is he following? Not the one that I'm aware of, who has certain views about, oh, I don't know, how many genders there are, certain views about all kinds of things. So
That wants the baby ripped out of the womb at 9 months, apparently.
Maybe that's a part of scripture
Nothing screams the love of Christ like a late-term abortion. I mean, it's too bad. But, you know, the infighting has got to stop. The battling, you know, this whole Lee Zeldin, incidentally, was announced moments ago, is not going to challenge Ronna McDaniel to be the RNC chair.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Why do you suppose?
I don't know. I didn't. I mean, I really don't care. I don't get into this whole.
I don't think she's the problem. I don't think she's ever. No? Listen, the Ronna McDaniel's meaning to me. I don't think fundraising has been much of a problem. I think we've done okay on that. Every time I've seen Ronna on TV, she does a great job, and I kind of like the fact that she is there buying into. I mean, she's not an enormous Trump fangirl, but nor is she a hater, and she's offering up support for Trump-like candidates, which must go over well with her uncle, Mitt Romney. So I kind of love that. Harmeet Dillon, you know who Harmeet is? This political attorney who's on Laura Ingraham all the time and just who's also great. She, I think, might be seeking that post, and that's okay.
Mike Lindell is seeking the post. A lot of people are seeking the post.
Yes.
And listen, this is the kind of distraction in terms of this infighting. And I mean, I guess it's part of the process. I can't shake the statistic you read. You've got the numbers in front of you. Tell me again exactly how many Republicans voted on November 8th and how many voted this in the runoff?
On November 8th, when Raphael Warnock, Herschel Walker, and a Libertarian were on the ballot, 1,906,000 Republicans showed up and voted for Herschel Walker. One presumes that those people who wanted him in the Senate could be bothered to show up somewhere during the months of early voting or yesterday's election day or whatever. The number yesterday, remember, the November 8th day, number 1,906,000. Yesterday, 1,714,000. So just under 200,000, almost 200,000 Republicans could not be bothered to come back to seal the deal. If they had, it would have beaten Warnock by a couple of points.
And the nation will suffer because of it.
Thanks, guys, for nothing. Thanks a lot, Georgia Republicans.
Joe Manchin now becomes largely irrelevant.
Yep.
He doesn't have the power that he had now because they've got a 51. Now, again, it's a sliver of a majority. It's 51-49. They had the Senate majority. I think one of the unspoken truths is that Georgia Republicans recognized, well, 50-50 with Kamala as the tiebreaker or 51-49, they still have the Senate. Why do I bother? Now, I'm not justifying that, Mark. No, I'm not excusing that.
So do you think they would have shown up if this would have given us 50, if this would have been, if it could have meant a 51-50 majority for Republicans, that would have resonated and they would have shown up more?
It would have been more of a motivating
factor. I think you're probably right.
It would have stimulated more voters probably. But, you know, because this time around, things happened that didn't happen on November 8th. I mean, this time around, we had more unification. You had Brian Kemp campaigning for Herschel Walker. Yes. You had less of the infighting, so you had more of an incentive to go vote. You know, here's a text message on my text line. I won't block this one, 800-655-MIKE. But if you give me a bit of an attitude, boom, gone, keystroke. Conservative, I'm kidding. I'm just, you know, hey, we got a headache today. You know, we got bad news out of Georgia, but this one's pretty intriguing. Conservatives want to vote for someone with a brain. Liberals vote for brain dead people to continue the destruction of the nation. You know, as you pointed out, two words to anybody who says candidate quality, John Fetterman.
Yeah.
I mean, Katie Holmes, like you said.
Why does candidate quality only matter on our side? And you can have cowards and they win in Arizona governor. You can have people who are literally uncommunicative and they win in Pennsylvania. Everybody's got to be William F. Buckley on our side.
Ooh. You could make the argument that they are, you know, sort of brain dead zombies who vote for whoever it is and it doesn't really matter. And we think, we reason, we care. We have discernment.
I'm past but, that. How'd that work out? How'd that discernment work out as we hemmed and hawed and had angels dancing on the head of a pin and put everything under the microscope and found all kinds of reasons why maybe Herschel wasn't perfect? Well, that got you Raphael Warnock. Happy now?
Bingo.
Are you happy now?
I mean, now we're gonna have some pain and some suffering. And, you know, hey, bad things are going to happen. There's no way around this. I wish I could spin it. I'm not going to... You know, pee on your leg and say it's raining. We're going to get, you know, Biden's got an easier chance now to get some of his radical judicial nominees confirmed. You got no chaired, co-chair committee heads now. I mean, you got a lot of, there's going to be some pain. Now, let's look at the upside. Biden's domestic agenda is dead in the water. Thank God for the House.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a Republican majority in the House. And incidentally, it's a wider margin, arguably, of a lead over the Democrats than they have over us in the Senate. And as we've talked about many times, the House is where, you know, the checks get signed.
That's right.
And that's very, very big. We are going to have this conversation, and it's a difficult one to have. I saw a story this morning about Ron DeSantis and his secret weapon. This is from Axios. This is intriguing. You know, there are Trump supporters and plenty of Americans, maybe non-Trump supporters, who don't forget that the Trump administration did call for lockdowns early in the pandemic. And that is not lost on Ron DeSantis, evidently, because the bottom line is the federal COVID response has become, it is a red meat issue for the base. And DeSantis's actions in 2020 are very aligned with today's GOP's tone.
Mm-hmm.
DeSantis is on record as saying he wishes he'd been more vocal in criticizing the Trump administration's calls for lockdowns. So Mike Allen at Axios, this is pretty smart commentary, I think.
I'm going to finish your sentence and then I'll pick at it a little bit, just a little.
Yeah, I mean, the theory is that Ron DeSantis, if he decides to run, he has an opening to attack Trump's COVID response from the right. Right off the bat,
it's not going to. A, I don't think he'll do it. B, I don't think a lot of people will care. If gathering 1,000 people who wound up being right about COVID, who wound up being right that we overreacted, who wound up lamenting that we crippled our economy, who wound up doubting Fauci, who wound up, all et cetera, 1,000 people who got there. There are going to be some people who got there really, really quickly. Maybe DeSantis got there quicker than Trump. Maybe there are people who found their way to truth and found their way to clarity, while the actual president of the United States was processing all this, and even being Trump took some time to get to where he eventually got.
Number
of Americans interested in wallowing through what everybody was doing with stinking COVID in the summer and fall of 2020. That number is really close to zero.
That's fair. I'd like to ask our audience: are there people who find it, who remember that Trump announced a 15-day national shutdown? In other words, was that a mistake in hindsight?
It's 15 flipping days.
Well, that was extended then after the virus spread.
I know.
Remember, they kept prolonging it, and we look back at that.
We didn't know. Nobody knew.
Nobody knew what was. We'd never been hit by something like this.
That's just a big
before.
Fat no. But and if yeah. again, find, I'm using my usual premise. Find me 100 Trump supporters. Are they going to say, "Oh well, are they going to flip over completely to DeSantis because Trump wasn't as quick to clarity as DeSantis was on COVID"? No, they're not. It's about here. It's about now. It's about the future. If we end up Trump versus DeSantis, it's what do these guys bring to the table about solving America's problems now, which is what makes a lot of people lament and wring their hands a little bit about, you know, Trump in these last few weeks of, you know, we need to suspend all the rules, even those in the Constitution. Then he says, I didn't say that. Dude, it's in your flipping Truth Social post. You said it. This is gaslighting of the highest order. Of course, I still love the guy, and I thank God he was president, and I'm willing to see what he brings to the table for 2024. But please, God, let it be less of that and more of the reasons why we loved him every day he was president.
And one more point on the pandemic. I mean, this was the president and his administration that delivered these vaccines.
Got that right.
He was the administration that worked tirelessly to fight against the attempt to federalize the response, protecting every state's right to decide what is best for their people. So it's a lot of noise, but the smart kids are you know, they're just delighted today, and they're saying this is a repudiation of Trump.
I
tend to agree, but it's, you cannot ignore, and you explain this to me then.
Right.
Every single Republican in statewide office in Georgia won easily, except Herschel Walker. And those statewide office holders, they all rejected Trump. They were critical of Trump's 2020 election fraud issue. Here's the problem.
Let me finish this thought. Go ahead.
Because this is a struggle for me, because I hate even saying this out loud, but I'm not going to lie. I gotta be true to who I am. Mm-hmm. It is impossible not to connect the dots that the focus on the 2020 election is a dead end. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're totally right.
But it's a chicken egg thing, but we can't ignore it either.
No, I know.
You know what I mean? It's a terrible dilemma. It's a quandary.
Here's the first thing that occurs to me as to the Kemp versus Abrams and the difference between that and Warnock versus Walker. And it's probably time somewhere in this big, fat, wonderful segment we do to give a little credit where credit is due. You ready? Raphael Warnock is a better candidate than Stacey Abrams. He is a much better candidate than Stacey Abrams. Warnock went into places that weren't even necessarily blue counties and blue parts of the state. His ad campaign was pretty brilliant. Listen, you and I as conservatives can talk about his biblical disconnect all day long, but Warnock ran a really, really good campaign.
Well, but objectively speaking, she ain't a bad candidate either.
Stacey Abrams?
No, I don't think she's a bad candidate. I think she appeals to a whole segment of the population in Georgia that I don't know. I mean, I think they're a little tired of her act, too. I mean, she keeps coming back. And listen, we're going to talk about election integrity. Maybe that applies to her, because she never accepted the outcome of her loss to Brian Kemp.
Right.
And maybe voters are saying, and this pains me. I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to say it all day long. Maybe it's time to say that drumbeat needs to stop, because it doesn't work. It doesn't win. We got to win. If we're going to fix the election problems in America, we got to win first and put people in charge who are capable of election reform. And we do need election credibility.
You bet we
but
do.
But thus far, I mean, I'm sorry, it has struck out. It doesn't land with voters. And I don't think that's disputable, Mark.
I don't think that's a dispute. In the two themes that we've explored, mostly two in the last 5 or 7 minutes, I think most everybody is sick to death of talking about COVID, sick to death of talking about 2020. But on both of those issues, really glad to look forward, look at the future and say, you're never going to lock us down again, and say we're going to try to never get hosed again in an election like we were in 2020.
Amen. Well put. All right. Onward and upward. It's still a great country, and we're going to greatest country in the world. We're going to keep fighting for her. And hey, like you said, win some, lose some.
That's it. We dust ourselves off. We fight another day. Fighting every day for you, Mike. Happy Wednesday, Mike. We'll be listening. Thanks, Mike. We will be listening. It's the Mike Gallagher Show as soon as we are done at 10 right here on 660 AM. The Answer.
Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane.
The year was 2012.
And all of his reindeer pulling on the rain.
Willie thought to himself,
bells are ringing, children singing.
I'm going to put out a classic Christmas bright album.
So hang your stockings and say your
so
prayers,
he did.
Cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Willie, and here comes Santa Claus. All right, on the Trump Santa factor.
Down Santa Claus Lane.
Let us stipulate that the Trump stamp of approval may not be the enormous boost, automatic gift that it was in years past. But the notion that it's now a scarlet letter, the notion that it's now a net negative, I think is way premature. In fact, since Republicans not showing up, not being sufficiently motivated as Democrats were to show up for Warnock, maybe if there'd been a couple of big honking Trump rallies in Atlanta and Savannah over the last week, maybe this would have gone differently. Huh? Maybe? What do you think happened? This and a bunch of other issues as we work our way through this Wednesday program. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Stick around. Many of you are next on the phone.
Right down Santa Claus Lane. You come around when the chimes ring out and it's Christmas morn again.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.